We're up to the Gemara in Daf Yud Omid Base. We're up to the Gemara where it says we're on the wide lines or the average. Relatively wide lines. The first words on the line are Loi Omrinon. We're up to where it says Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra, Kol Hatoile Bizachus Atzmoi. If ever a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his own merit, toilin lo'i b'zechus acherim, then whatever this means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it depend on the merit of others. V'chol ha'toile b'zechus acherim, toilin lo'i b'zechus atzmai. If however a person makes his tefillah depend on the merit of others, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn will make it depend on his own merit. Where do you see this? On the one hand, Moshe Tala B'Zechus Achirim. Moshe Rabbeinu Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the merit of others. Because you see it says, Shenema Zechor Avram LiYitzchok LiYisrael Avodecho. When he Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't daven in his own merit, he davened in the merit of the others, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And yet, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it depend on his own merit. Because it says, Vayomer Shenemar, Vayomer Lahashmidom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he would destroy Klal Yisrael. Lulei Moshe Bechirei, if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, his chosen one, Omad Beperetz Lefonov, stood before him in the breach. Lahoshiv Chamosoi Mehashchis, to return, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath, that he should not destroy Klal Yisrael. So I don't quite understand the depth of this concept, but by virtue of the fact that he, when he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save Klal Yisrael in my zechus. Rather, he said, please save Klal Yisrael in the zechus of the Avos. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu afterwards describes as, I would have destroyed Klal Yisrael if not for Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't say, if not for the Avos. So on one hand, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu is making his tefillah dependent on the Zechus Avos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it dependent on his own Zechus. The other side of the coin, and this is why we're mentioning it, is Chizkiyahu. That's the story we discussed. Chizkiyahu tala b'zechus atzmoy. He did daven in his own zechus. We mentioned this yesterday. Dixir, because it says, Zechor no, please remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu es asher hisalachti lefonecho. Please daven for me, because he said, remember how I have walked in front of you. In other words, in my own zechus, please save me. And yet, tolo, Loi b'zechus achirim. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately saved him, not in his own zechus, but in the zechus of others, because it says, Shenema v'ganoisi el ho'ir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will defend this city, Hazois lohishio, to save it, l'ma'ani or l'ma'an David avdi. For my sake and in the sake of David HaMelech, my Eved. So you see that Chizkiyahu HaMelech davened in his own zechus, But ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about the Gula in the Zechus of others. Says the Gemara in conclusion, V'hainu d'Rabbi Shua ben Levi. And this would fit in with the statement authored by Rabbi Shua ben Levi. What did Rabbi Shua ben Levi say? D'om Rabbi Shua ben Levi. My diksiv. What does it mean? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya when it says, Hine l'shalom mar li. Because Baruch Hu says that for my shalom, for my peace, I had bitterness. Mar is like a lashon of morrow. What does that mean? He explained it means mar li mar. It was very bitter, meaning afilu b'sha'o she'shiger lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him shalom, nonetheless, mar huloi, it was still bitter for him. What does that mean it was bitter for him? In what way was it bitter for him? Because even though Chizkiyahu HaMelech davened that there should be a Yeshua, and there was a Yeshua. However, it came in a bit of a bitter way because HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly told him that, yes, I will send the Yeshua, but it's not going to be in your merit. If you daven in your merit, maybe it's an issue of gaiva and anova. If you daven in your own merit, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I deserve this, that, and the other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may well say, send the geula. But it comes with bitterness because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sending it, but actually not in your zechus at all. It's actually in the zechus of other people. In other words, in this case, David HaMelech. And now we continue. Nase no alias kir ketano. Now, what's that posuk referring to? This is a posuk in Melachim. If I'm not mistaken, this refers to Elisha. Is that how they explain in the art scroll?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
It's referring to Elisha. Elisha stayed in the home of a particular woman, ended up saving her child. And the Gemara now discusses it. It's quite interesting. Very interesting. Gemara says, Nase no alias kir ketano. Let's make, he says, a little kir, which we'll have to translate, maybe a chamber on the roof. Rav Shmuel, there was a machlokes between Rav Shmuel as to how to translate this. Again, Elisha is staying in the house of this particular Isha, and what's being constructed for him is the kir. Now, what is the kir?
Sort of like a loft.
Right. So there seems to be machlokes exactly what this means. Rav Shmuel. Chad Omar, one of the two opinions says, Aliyah Perua Hoysa. It was originally an upper room, an upper chamber. Perua means open, which was open. And then the Kirua, they then put a roof over it. The Chad Omar, that no. Ach Sadra Gedoyla Hoysa. It was a large achsadra, they normally translate as a, I don't know how they translate it in Art Scroll, as a veranda or a portico.
They use hall here.
A hall?
Yeah.
V'chilkua l'shnayim, and they were dividing it into two, and he was saying, fine, I'll stay in one half of this hall. Bishloima, says the Gemara. It's all fine and well, Aman the Omar Achsadra, according to the opinion who says it's a hall, Hainu the Ksiv Kir. That's what it means. It's a Kir because apparently the word Kir can be a reference to a hall. Elo, Aman the Omar Aliyah. But if you say it was just a room on top of the roof, then why is that called a Kir? My Kir? The answer is shekiruha, because they put a roof on it, as we said before. It was initially an open-topped room, and they put a roof on it. Bishleima says the Gemara lemanda oma aliyah, according to the opinion who indeed says that it was an upper chamber, a room. And I understand. That's why it says in the pasuk, haynu deksiv aliyas. That's what it says, aliyas. That was the lashon of the pasuk. Aliyas kir. Elo lemanda ma'achsadra, my aliyas. But if you explain that it means a hall, so why is the pasuk referring to it as an aliyah? Aliyah normally means like a loft or a small room, not a hall. Says the Gemara, do you know what aliyah means? Ma'ula shebabatim. Aliyah is from the word ma'ula. Ma'ula means the best, like la'ela la'ela. It was the best of all the rooms, and that's why it's called aliyah. Okay. Then the story continues. V'nasim loisham mita u'shulcham v'kisei u'menoira. They put for him, meaning for Elisha, when he was staying in his home, a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaye, very famous line, v'itei m'Rabbi Yitzchok. So Abaye said, but somehow in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok, Horoitze lehonois yehonois ka'alisha. If a person wants to benefit, what does that mean? Says Rashi. Horoitze lehonois means mishal achirim. If he wants to benefit from other people, then you should do so. Ka'alisha, that's perfectly legitimate. K'moi shemotzinu be'alisha shenehne. Elisha seemed to be more than happy to benefit. Meaning he didn't say that, no, I don't chas v'shalom want to be a guest in your home. I wouldn't want to benefit from you in any way. No, he did not say that. So clearly that's a perfectly permissible manner of behavior. If you want to be a guest in somebody's home and they spoil you and they look after you, then that's fine. However, there is also a different line, a different way of looking at things, and some people act differently. And if a person does not want to benefit, the person says, I do not want to be the beneficiary of anybody else's goodness or kindness, then the way to do so, al yehena, then he should indeed not benefit, like Shmuel Horamasi, Shmuel Anavi. Because what does he say? It says in the pasuk, "V'shenemar v'teshuvasoi Horamasa," that when he returns to Ramah, kisham beisoi, because there was his house. Some translate this to mean, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, what does it mean, for there was his house? Shekol mokoim sheholach sham. Wherever he traveled, he took his house with him. Now, what does it mean? How do you take your house with him? I.e., what it means is, didn't literally take the building, it means he took everything he needed, because he did not want to be the beneficiary of other people's goodness. So wherever he went, he took with his basic utensils and whatever was necessary, he took with his chair and his bed. So you see that there seems to be two approaches. Look at Rashi. If you want to be the beneficiary of others, that's also fine, because you see, that's what Elisha did. If you don't want to be the beneficiary of somebody, then that's also fine, because that's what you see that Shmuel did. Kamoi, says Rashi, al yehena. So don't benefit. If you don't want to benefit, you don't have to benefit. Ve'ein bedavar loy mishum gasos ruach. There is no gasus ruach, which means gaiva. There is no gaiva in doing so, v'loi mishum sinah. Neither does it portray hatred. In other words, imagine you come to somebody else's home and they say to you, can I give you some dinner for tonight? And you say, no, thank you, I've actually brought my own. Why is he saying that? Because he doesn't want to benefit from the host's hospitality. So says Rashi, you might have thought that maybe that would be prohibited either because it's a certain type of gaiva. I'm too horsey and therefore I don't want to be dependent on others. Or worse still, maybe it displays some sort of sin or hatred. I don't want to eat in your house. Don't trust you. Says the Gemara, no, it's no problem. There is no chashash either of gasus ruach or of sinah. Why? That's what you see. That's what happened with Shmuel Hanavi. Wherever Shmuel went, he took his things with him. Says the Gemara, if you want to do so, you can do so too. So now the story continues. Vatoimer, this is now the next pasuk. She said to her husband, Vatoimer el Isha. She said this particular woman, the hostess, said to her husband, Hine no yodati, I know, ki ish eloikim kodosh hu. That this particular man is a godly man, is a holy man. The husband did not say so. Why not? We'll see in a moment. But the wife did say so. The wife perceived the kedusha of Elisha. Elisha, as we know, was the prime Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. And she said to her husband, I sense that in our home we have a holy man. Says the Gemara, very interesting observation. Omer Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina. Mikan sheho isha makeres ba'orchin yoisa min ha'ish. Very interesting. You see from over here that a woman recognizes the guests, the character of the guests, more than the man. You see that her husband did not apparently observe that this man was a holy man, and the wife did. The wife is more astute. Now look in Rashi. There's a lengthy Rashi. Just give me a moment, excuse me. I'm just going to take a drink. 1 second, please. Yeah, says Rashi. Kishon Beisai. So again, what was the lashon of the pasuk? It says he went back to Ramah. We know Shmuel is from Ramah. That's why it's called Shmuel Haramosi. Kishon Beisai, for there was his home. So Rashi explains what the drasha is. Le'el minei ksiv. Above that pasuk, meaning prior to that, the following is written. It says, quote unquote, Vohoyo midei shona b'shono, and it was that every year, v'sivev beis keil v'hamitzvah b'shofetes Yisrael, that Shmuel used to go around judging Klal Yisrael, all around the country. V'samech lei, and then close by it says, v'tshuvaso, and then he went back home, haramaso, kishon beisai, because that where his home was. End of quote. V'chi eini yoidea sheshom beisoy? Don't I know that that's where he lived? And that's where his home was? Why is it necessary for the pasuk to say he went back to Ramah, for there was his home? We know that's where his home is. Elo, rather, akulu mekoymois, it's going back on all the previous places, dekra d'le'elmine, all the places that were described previously. It says he went around the country and he was in Beiskel and he was in Mitzpah. It's referring to that. Shekol mokoim shahoyo hoylech shom, because any place that he went to, he would carry with him kol klei tashmishoi, all of his personal items. Kol klei tashmishoi bayis imoy, all his household items, whether it was his oil, chaniyosai, also his tent. Why? Shaloi la'onois mino acherim, because he didn't want to benefit from others in any way. So therefore, when it says kishon beisoi, it doesn't mean for there was his home in Ramah, but rather there was his home, meaning everywhere he went was his home. What does that mean? Everywhere he went was his home, because everywhere he went, he indeed took his home with him. Took his home with him. So you see the differences in approach over here. Elisha was happy to benefit from his hostess. Shmuel was not happy to benefit, and that's why he took all of his household items with him wherever he went. And the Gemara says either approach is perfectly valid. Says the Gemara, first word on the line, Kodosh Hu, a holy man. She said that I notice that we have a holy man in our home. What did she sense about him that was holy? How did she know that he was a holy man? Mino yodo, asked the Gemara. How did she know that he was a holy man? Rav v'Shmuel. It's machlokes. What was it that she saw, something unique about Elisha, that made her declare that we have a holy man in our home? The Gemara says, machlokes Rav v'Shmuel. Chadomar sheloi roaso zvuv oiver al shulchanoi. She never saw a fly passed by his table. And as far as she was concerned, that was a clear sign of Kedusha. Clearly his presence was so Kodosh that a fly, a lowly fly, could not enter his domain. So when she saw that there was never a fly who flew past his table, that's how she knew that he must be holy. That's one opinion. V'chad omar, Sodin shel pishton hitzia al mitosei. The other opinion is that she put a sheet, like a bed sheet of linen, on his bed. In other words, she always arranged and changed his bedding. V'loi ra'aso keri olov. And she noticed that there was never a keri. Keri is the tumor which is exuded by the goof. And she noticed that all the time that he stayed with her, there was never any simon of that on the sheet. So she knew that he was Kodesh. So she said, Kodesh hu, Omer Rabbi Yisrael Bar Chanina. What does it mean, Kodesh hu? He is holy. There's an emphasis over here. Who, underline the word who. Who Kadosh. She was clearly declaring that only he is Kadosh. But umasharasai einoi Kadosh. But the one attending him, his servant. Who was his servant? Gehazi. Gehazi, we know, was not a Ish Kodesh, and that's what she was saying. So when she declared those words, Hu Kodesh, what she meant to say by inference was that, yes, I noticed that Elisha is Kodesh, but not his attendant, Gehazi. Why? Shenemar Vayigash Gehazi Lahadfo. Because the Pasuk says that Gehazi came near to her, Lahadfo, to push her away, to throw her away. Omer Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, no, what it means is she'ochzok, that he grabbed hold of her, behoid yoifia, in her private parts. And that's how she knew that he was not an Adam Kodesh. So when she said, who Kodesh, what she clearly meant to say was, yes, I've noticed on the one hand that Elisha is indeed Kodesh, but I've equally noticed that his attendant Gehazi is definitely not an Ish Kodesh. Says the Gemara, again, it's continuing to explain this whole story. Because the next pasuk is Oiver Olenu Tomit. She was declaring that this Ish Kodesh is staying with us Tomid on a frequent basis, but the word she uses was Tomid. The Gemara makes a very, very interesting observation. If she used the word Tomid, what's that referring to? Or at least, what's that a hint to? As the Gemara, it's a hint to a Korban Tomid. Omer Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Elezer Ben Yaakov, Kol Hamareach Talmud Chochem, anybody who hosts a Talmud Chochem, B'toich Beisoi, in his home, Uma Hanheihu Minachasov, and benefits him, he gives him benefit from his property, Male Olav Hakosov, the Torah, the Pasuk considers, Ki'ilu Makriv Tamidim. So if you're serving a Talmud, just like a person who brings a korban, ki'ilu kaviyachol being mahane hakadosh baruch hu, so too if you look after your guest who is a talmud chacham, that is tantamount to bring a sacrifice to hakadosh baruch hu. That was a statement said in the name of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Now the Gemara says another unrelated statement also in the name of the same Omar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Yishumar Belozer ben Yaakov, Al Yamoid Odom, a person should not stand b'mokoim gavoya v'yispalel, do not stand in a high place whilst you daven, elo b'mokoim namuch, rather a person should go to a low place v'yispalel shenemar, mimamakim krosicho Hashem. Mimamakim means from the depths. Now, La halacha, this is quite rare. La halacha, as we know, there is a differentiation between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. We call our shuls a Beis HaKnesses, but actually almost all of them are not a Beis HaKnesses, they're a Beis HaMedrash. What's the difference? A Beis HaKnesses technically is a place which is reserved for davening and davening only. A Beis HaMedrash, from the word Dorash, Drosha, is a place for learning. And indeed, technically speaking, the two are different buildings and have different functions, one for davening, one for learning. As mentioned, our shuls, which we call Beis HaKnesses, are in the main really a Beis HaMedrash. And there are many, many different halachas of a Beis HaKnesses. One of them, for example, is you can't eat and drink in a Beis HaKnesses. So how do any of us eat and drink in a shul? The answer is because our Beis HaKnesses is a Beis HaMedrash.
It's interesting because Rav Bess in Los Angeles, his shul is called Beis Medrash, Kehilas Yaakov.
Beis Medrash. It's interesting because I've seen some shuls over here advertise themselves as Beis HaKnesses v'Beis HaMedrash such and such. Either way, one of the halachas is that a Beis HaKnesses has to be built at a slope, which means when you come in, you enter the Beis HaMedrash from the back door. If you walk from the back door towards where the chazan stands in the front, you're actually walking on a downward slope. Rabbi Yosef, did you ever daven in Munks?
Yes, Munks, yeah.
In Munks is a Beis HaKnesses. It's absolutely not a Beis HaMedrash. It's for davening only. There's no eating or drinking. People don't learn there. There's a separate Beis HaMedrash at the back. And if you stand at the back, there's a very, very clear slope. If you put a little tennis ball by the front door, it will roll all the way down. Did you ever daven, Rabbi Yosef, in the Adas Shul in Stamford Hill?
Adas Shul in Stamford Hill, I think so, but it's a long time ago.
The late Rabbi Dunner, there it also sloped. It also sloped. If I'm not mistaken, the source of that halacha is from the Gemara we just learned. Because it says you're not supposed to daven in a high place, rather in a low place. So at least the front of the shul where the chazan stands was always at a slope, so that it should be, like our Gemara says, mimamakin krosicha Hashem. Okay, we'll stop over here. Miss Hashem will continue tomorrow. Chol being well.
Shukar. Thank you.